Well, it's good to see everybody. You know, when we say, well, it's whelp. Yeah, whelp. It's good to see everybody. I caught myself. I know Mike last Wednesday probably covered the first 7 points of really the introductory material to our class, and I'm going to kind of do a quick kind of review because I've got to get back on schedule. I will be here this Wednesday night to continue the study. I should be here most of the time. There will be a few times I have to be out, of course, but we're very fortunate, blessed here at Ninth and Main to have many good and qualified teachers and good help. So we're going to get back to this study of how and why to study the Bible. This study may carry out for a couple quarters. The reality is there's a lot of material. I believe we've ordered another case of books. We ordered 30 of them. Okay, so by Wednesday, $21. So if you got in on the first batch, you're fortunate. But we have more books coming if you're interested in having your own copy. And they should be here by Wednesday night, and we'll just hold them. And as we've said, if you would like a copy, you can get a copy most assuredly. If you can afford to put $21 in the collection plate, we're not asking for any profit or gains. That would actually be illegal. But we are asking you to, chip in if you can. So, I don't know if you noticed on this first screen, I was thinking a little bit, sage wisdom. You ever heard the statement? Sage advice. Well, that's a sage bush. So you probably didn't catch that. That was probably... Okay. Probably. A different generation. Yeah. I am? Would you like to disclose how old you're going to be? I'm just... No, you don't have to. Yeah, we need to get going. All right, so that is a screen of sage advice. I thought it was a pretty picture, but really we're talking about why study the Bible, how to study the Bible, and so we're going to get into this. Let's have a word of prayer. Certainly good to see everybody this morning, and glad you're with us. Let's pray. Holy God and Father, we're grateful for the blessing of life, grateful for thy word that sets us free, the truth that is so abundantly and sufficiently revealed. Help us be students, help us be diligent, help us overcome. Help us realize that each and every one here have frailties. We are certainly in need of thy mercy, grace, and the abundance there again that is in and provided through thy word, that as we are students of it, that we can be learners, doers, and therefore be blessed. We pray that in this study, throughout the course of this time we're together, that we will gain and grow through the simplicity of these principles, and yet then make good application. We pray that we're always glorifying thee, that as we are glorifying thee, we have done so because of our pursuit of truth and application. We pray that we are more fruitful every day. Grateful for everyone that is here this morning, for our friends, our family, our visitors, and we're grateful for, again, the church. Pray that we have a good and fruitful day together in our fellowship, but ultimately, once again, we pray that we have come to worship thee in spirit and in truth, and that we'll leave here knowing that we have satisfied thy will. Have mercy upon us, is our prayer in Jesus' name, amen. So again, talking about Bible study and why to study the Bible, we're not going to go into all this, Lots of people have given their lives for this. Keep that in mind. The Bible is no book without controversy. This morning in the sermon, we'll talk a little bit about the sort of division that occurs as a result of Bible study. Again, many reasons why people approach the Bible. We've talked about that. You can go to a school and get an academic pursuit and get a degree in Bible knowledge and just take the Bible as a history study or a history book, and yet that still wouldn't save you. It may teach you some things, but that's not what we're here for. Remember the cycle of study here. This is a pretty good breakdown. Attendance, simply number one, review, number two, study, number three, number four, check. Number five, preview. Then number one, kind of circle back, cycle back around, and you're always doing this. I don't care what profession you're in. There's a reason why doctors, medical doctors, are referred to as practitioners. There's a reason why they're referred to as practitioners. They never become experts in the sense of knowing all things about the human body. They're practitioners. And so we too, in many ways, are practitioners. Why are we going to study the Bible? Because it is the Word of God. We've looked at these passages. These passages prove and confirm that the Bible is not just the Word of men, but it is indeed the Word of God. Why are we going to study the Word of God? Because, again, a study of it reveals that the Bible is the very breath of God, the words. Now, we haven't brought this up, and we will in the course of this study. Not all English translations, not all English translations of the Bible are equal. And we'll talk more about that. The Bible, again, is the Word of God. It's not just thought for thought. It is actually the words. And we have, again, reasons to know that. Remember, God is describing and revealing Himself to us. This morning, again, I want you to think about that statement, that the Bible is God describing and revealing Himself to us. However, with all that is recorded and revealed in the Bible, have you ever thought about how much about God we don't know? Have you ever thought about the fact that we can't know everything about God? And thirdly, have you ever thought about why we can't know everything about God? If I were to know everything about God, then what would that make me? God. But I'm not. Therefore, I should learn contentment and thankfulness as a result that a all-loving, merciful, and yet all-just God has made my life possible. I'm not God. And so as we're studying the Bible and we're learning this, that's a humbling lesson to realize how little really we know about reality. But yet God has given us everything we need to know. The Bible will teach that. So Jesus Christ will become the explanation of God. That's an important lesson to remember. The Bible is the revelation of God in the person of Christ in many ways. And that's going to be discussed more and more throughout this study. Again, why are we studying the Bible? It's the Word of God. These passages here on the screen, they establish that fact. Jesus is the revelation of God's person, character, and salvation, redemption. And He is the God-man. The word Emmanuel means God with us. And He's the only one that ever, being God, became flesh. No one else has ever done that. So we're going to, again, continue to discuss that. We study the Bible because it's the only way to salvation. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because I know that it's been discussed. But I do want to remind you, there are all kinds of reasons why people live. These are current and present topics on the screen. Mars, Elon Musk, present thinkers and explorers. I'd like to, again, have you think about things, if you will, in such manners. Like, for example, key figure in history today, the 21st century in 2024, is a character named Elon Musk. Elon Musk says a lot of things that are interesting. But Elon Musk is not a Christian. He doesn't claim to be. He respects it, he says, and he says he's read the Bible, but he's not a studier of it as it is the Word of God, or certainly as a means of salvation. He is a man that thinks very innovatively from a worldly perspective, very physical perspective. And I yet think he offers some interesting solutions to everyday physical problems. He talks a lot about childbirth and the reasons why people should be having babies. He talks a lot about that, and he talks about extinction, that human and mankind will drive itself into extinction if it does not procreate. He talks a lot about that. And that's interesting because guess who else in the Bible talks about that? God does. And yet God tells us why we should procreate. Elon Musk can't tell us that except for extinction principles. It's true what he's saying. That's one reason why homosexuality is a bad deal. Because if you practice homosexuality, what would be the result from just a biological standpoint? Extinction. It doesn't work. God didn't make it that way. And yet, also another interesting thing about Elon Musk, and I want you to think about why people say and do things that they do. We may never know the ultimate motives, because I can't judge motives of man, but why does Elon talk about Mars so much? Well, think about it. We're here on the globe, the earth that God created that is habitable. It has sufficient oxygen. We've talked about that. It has sufficient water. What are more important to the human body than oxygen and water? Okay, food be next, right? But you got to have water first, really. We got to have sufficient hydration. Well, where else in the universe are you going to go to get those two elements? Oxygen, water. Nowhere. But there's a good reason. You know, when you think about what the Bible teaches in the New Testament about salvation, what's the one thing we need in order to be saved? One of the one things, water, baptism, right? Well, it's going to be a hard deal if you want to move to Mars. But here's why I think. This is why I think. This doesn't cost you anything, but I want you to think about why people do what they do. Why does Elon Musk press and push for things and innovations like Mars and all the things he's doing? I think it's interesting. He's trying to help people get out of themselves and think about other things. And from a material perspective, it almost makes sense. If I can get you to quit thinking about your own yard and this earth, did you remember or do you know that there's a planet out there called Mars? Maybe if we thought about some of that, it might make us not think so selfishly and come together as a team. He talks a lot about teamwork, which is interesting, about getting the best minds together to be innovative and to go to the stars, to go to Mars, to explore. And that's an interesting principle, because guess what the church and guess what God says he wants us to do? He also wants us to come together and become a family, a spiritual family, that thinks upon the deep things of God, yet without adding to nor subtracting from his word. Finding contentment and peace and so forth. So God too asks us to do this as the greatest revealer of all thoughts. So I'm just pointing out things. You will run across people in history like Elon Musk that are interesting characters. I admire them. But they're actually robbing principles from God's word. And I don't even think they realize it. Marcus Aurelius, one of the greatest philosophers of the Roman emperors, second century, I believe. A lot of people attribute him to, again, the freedom that pressed toward Constantine that made Christianity a state religion in the Roman Empire. But you know what's interesting about that? Though they had some interesting philosophies, was Jesus Christ, was his motive to make Christianity a state religion. And as you study the Bible, you'll find the answers to that. Do you know, and I saw your hand, Royce, let me finish my thought real quick. Do you know that the highest level of satisfaction in the Bible for humankind, human beings on this earth, do you know what the highest level of satisfaction revealed is in the Bible? It's all good answers. On the earth for human beings. Let me ask you a question. Another question. Is there anything higher than the locally autonomous, organized churches of Christ? If you built the biggest empire, the biggest business, and became the most wealthiest man on the face of the planet, is that higher than the Church of Christ? Okay. So stop and think about it. It's not colleges. It's not universities. It's right here what we're doing. I need you. I need people to realize that the ninth and main Church of Christ and what we do, if we do it right, organized by the authority of God in the Scriptures, with an eldership and everything, if we do this right, there is no higher calling for satisfaction in the Bible revealed. Being a part of a congregation, the body of people, there's nothing higher. Who do I answer to right here at 9th and Main? I go straight to God. Through whom? Jesus Christ. Are we organized as the Bible teaches? Are we a salt? Are we a light here in our community? Are we doing our job as a Christian here in San Angelo, Texas? You know, there's nothing higher than that. You can chase a PhD. You can chase whatever career you want to. If it doesn't bring back glory to God through His church, Ephesians 3:21. Ephesians 3:21, 1 Timothy 3:15 and 16, great is the mystery of godliness revealed in the man of Jesus Christ. We are doing it right here. And if we will study that and understand that, then you are doing the greatest thing you'll ever do in your life. Most people don't look at the church that way. They look at it as an afterthought. They look at it as something that just happens. I got to go to church. Not the way I look at it. Not the way the Bible looks at it. And so we're going to talk more about that. If you move away from San Angelo, guess what the highest and most important priority of your life must be if you're going to seek God's satisfaction? Go find the church. And if it's not there, guess what you've got to do if you're a Christian? You're going to have to establish it based upon the same patterns and principles. I don't answer to the Church of Christ outside of this location, do I? I go right to the Scriptures and I do things right here. There's nothing higher than what you're doing here. There's nothing more important. I maintain the greatest role and work on the face of the planet, the greatest, is qualifying yourself to serve as an elder and preach the gospel. That's what I believe. I also believe it's the most dangerous thing you do too. Because it's guys like us that mess this up. And when we mess it up bad. We destroy people's lives. You can change careers. I tell Gina all the time, you can go be a checker at Walmart or a door greeter. They save those jobs for people like me as we get older. But there are some things God puts in His kingdom, and He prioritizes them because of a reason. Do we recognize it? We study the Bible because it's the only way to salvation. We'll get through this. Again, any other way to find morality, redemption, the way of life, you can listen to all the great thinkers. You can think about what's being said. Think about the sustainability, words like that. Think. Use your brain. Think a little deeper. Yes, ma'am. Oh, wait, Royce is first. Royce, I'm sorry, brother. Please, Royce, please.
We're going to back up a little bit.
I do. I try to be a just man. When someone was at Evelyn, you said, Brian, I remembered immediately, wait, you can't go yet.
You were talking about how Elon Musk believes in building teams and bringing people together with the minds and stuff like that. Well, it's all the goal. If you pay him a whole lot of attention, when he starts talking about Mars, what's he going to do? Colonize Mars. Okay, number one, it can never be self-sustaining. It's impossible. Okay. Number two, what is he talking about doing? Taking these great minds together and then going out. Guess what? As a church family, we come together, and what are we supposed to do with God? Take it out as well. That's sustainable.
That is sustainable. And when will it? As long as time stands, when will mankind not be suffering from the problem of death, sin, debt? You know. Confusion. When will we ever not face these challenges? And where will the answer always be?
And the second thing you may have talked about, which is true, as a male, we ought to be striving on a regular basis. How do I get to a point that I am qualified now to serve as an elder? A deacon. Okay? The service as an elder, and it can't be. One of the things that Mike and I have talked about for multiple times, is what we have here at 9th and Main is very special, is very unique. I've never been a member of a congregation. I preached for 30 years. I mean, we were here, we were there. Never been a place like this. What do we always tell ourselves? I can always tell ourselves, don't mess it up. That's the key. Don't mess it up. If you use that expression, we can mess things up if we're not careful.
Yeah. So. Thank you. Yes.
Yes. That goes straight to what my comment was going to be, which was that we can see in the Old Testament that men of God messed up when they did not consult God on the decisions that they were making when leading a people or in their own personal decisions. And study is exactly what we need in order to make sure that we are consulting God to fulfill the will of God. When we don't consult God and we do things on our own will, that's when we mess up.
Every time,
whether you're leading a people or you're navigating your own life. And the purpose of study is to make sure that everything we do is within the will of God.
That's right. So, Eric. Yeah.
We don't add or take from here. I mean, I've learned a lot that I'm better right here than ever should I go anywhere. You know, I don't last forever. But I know God's word.
That's right. So we study the word of God because it's the only way to salvation. This is the most comprehensive point on the 7 points. I know Mike, I think, touched on all 7 points. I'm simply trying to just cover them on the screens to pick up where we're going to pick up. These passages here will emphasize the reason why it's the only way to salvation more and more. Let God be true and every man a liar, Romans 3:10 through 11. That's a principle through the Bible. It doesn't mean man can't not lie. It's two double negatives, I know that. It does mean man can tell the truth, but man, as to really what Evelyn was saying, is impossibly unable to live in truth without truth. And what is truth and where did it come from and how do we then do it? The Bible is the answer. I can look to this creation and become a pretty interesting, innovative thinker and figure out how to become an outstanding farmer, rancher. I can figure out things that God has given. Electricity. I'm in the field of electricity and learning more and more about automation and engineering. Deal with electrical engineers all the time, automation engineers, and it is intriguing. You know what's interesting about electricity to me? Is that everything has potential for energy. This piece of wood right here has potential for energy inside, the molecules down to the atom. And you know who put it there? God did. And when mankind thinks in godly terms, he can look around him and he can go and do this. And I do it more and more the older I get. I fall on my knees and say, thank you. I am so thankful for such a beautiful world you've given me. Us, the world. Let me be a good steward and do well. All right, so again, these passages will help. Psalm 14, 1 there. So the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Did y'all go over that some? Okay, so is that a strange idea? When a foolish person, you analyze it, is a person who's not thinking on terms of godliness or God, and they become arrogant. Self, really, inflicted. All right, so you only learn about sin studying the Bible. Anywhere else you can go in the world and learn about sin? Our justice system in this world, this country, will teach you that sin is actually okay. Or I like the idea of in degrees. There's first, second, third degrees of murder. Well, I get the ideas. They're trying to establish a justice system, but killing someone is always bad. And so we need to understand that. All right, so these passages here, James 1:25 speaks to the perfect law of liberty. As you study the Bible, you'll see that. 1 John 3:4 says that sin, it defines sin as the transgression of God's law. It makes sense, doesn't it? Sin, the transgression of God's law. And then you talk about John 3:16. The entire world and all of creation, mankind, not animals, not the trees, though can reciprocate from the love of God through a thing called belief or faith. And faith is something we'll talk more about. And so we'll analyze this. And there's no other name given in Acts 4, verse 12, whereby we must be saved. And that name is who? Jesus Christ. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. All right. These other points will go pretty quick. So when you look at these passages here, you only learn about sin and study in the Bible. You would consider these other texts. In Acts 2:37, one of the greatest sermons ever preached, inspired in the Bible, it provoked, in verse 37 there of Acts 2, the question. You remember the question? What must I do to be saved? We want to provoke that. We want people to come and ask, what must I do in order to be saved? And we want to be able to show them and point them to the Christ. Also in Acts 2:37, before they actually were provoked, well, being provoked, what does the Bible say there? Do you remember? They were what in their hearts? Pricked. Now, I want you to hold on to that idea as we study the Bible and we learn how to study it, the idea of conviction or being pricked in the heart. Is that a bad thing? That's not a bad thing at all. We need people to be pricked, convicted. God, there you go. That's right. Godly sorrow produces repentance not to be repented of. All right, so John 8:24, we're trying to produce righteous judgment and belief. That's John 7:24, and then actually John 8:24. Except a man believe, he shall die in his sins. Jesus says in Romans 10:17, faith or belief comes by what? Hearing this word, and we're going to talk about that this morning in the lesson, in the sermon. So 2 Timothy 3:15 reveals to us that there's wisdom in the scriptures of even the Old Testament. Holy Spirit uses the gospel revealed in the Bible to convict and to convert. The Holy Spirit is not out here dancing around as some type of metamorphosis or some kind of a emotional feeling. I need you to understand your emotions belong to you. And your emotions are not the Holy Spirit. Too many people think their emotions are the Holy Spirit. That's not true. If you're angry, ask yourself why you're angry. Don't say it's the Holy Spirit. Now, if the Holy Spirit, through the word or preaching the gospel, you heard the words of truth and your heart was pricked, that could be the essence of the Holy Spirit's revelation or word, but it's not spirit on spirit. He's not hitting you directly. He's using his word. It's called the sword. The sword, Ephesians 6:17. And we'll have to talk more about that as we study the Bible. Too many people today don't even know anything about the Holy Spirit, but they'll say all kinds of things about him. You ever notice that? Holy Spirit got me out of bed this morning. What do you mean by that? People say all kinds of ambiguous things, and nobody knows what they're talking about. We sing songs, and nobody knows even what the words mean sometimes. We need to do a better job making sure psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs are sung with understanding. That's 1 Corinthians 14, verse 13. 12 and 13, I think. We have to be a people of understanding. Because if we're not a people of understanding, what are we? And if we're ignorant, what are we promoting then? Sin. Confusion is a word in 1 Corinthians 14. God is not the author of such. And so, again, these things happen when people don't know their Bible, don't know the Word of God. All right. I'm trying to get away from this principle for the moment. James 1:21 talks about the engrafting word, which is able to save your soul. That word is like a, again, it ingrains you, it engrafts you into. Without the Word of God, there is no salvation. The just shall live by faith, but without the gospel, there is no justice. Okay, we'll talk more about that. Justice is the idea of righteousness. Righteousness is the idea of law. Yes, ma'am.
Can I also add that with the faith, too, that belief, sometimes we want people to do things because we said it.
Right.
And I've told you what the Bible says, I've told you what truth is, now you need to go and do it. But we fail to realize that they need to be convicted by the Word of God to the understanding
right.
self. That they are doing this because they understand what God is asking of them to do. Not they don't understand what I'm saying, but what God is saying. And that takes time.
That's right.
Because of personal study. I tell people sometimes you need to take your situation to the scriptures because I have no authority to tell you what to do with your life. The scriptures do.
Right.
And we need to give people the opportunity to understand what they are doing because they're doing it by their own belief. In what God is saying, and not because you said.
That's right. I've always been a person that hate to tell people what to do.
Yes.
Even my own kids, I hated to. I always used to ask my kids, "Do you care?" And they'd look at me, "What are you talking about?" Well, if you cared, what would you do? Because care is concern and actual, true and good motive. But if I'm having to beat you into submission, I'm not necessarily promoting care. And true, so it's a balance. I mean, you do have to beat them sometimes.
Leads you to understanding. Your own study leads you to understanding.
Yeah,
My study is not going to lead you to an understanding. Your own study is going to.
That's right.
We can study together, but it still has to be your understanding and your choice based upon the understanding.
That's right.
Of God.
Well, as Mike mentioned a moment ago, love, you know, and that word is certainly there. Yeah, that's the greatest thing. When you learn about that, you learn that the church, the kingdom, is the greatest element of God's love. Yeah, you know, we are a family that love each other because of God, not because of just some feeling. When I say I love you, I'm not just throwing a word. I think some people are. All right, so right here, the next point, I want to quickly state this, write the verses down. We'll have to come back to some of this. We study in order to prove all things. Again, there's a passage there, 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 and 22, that state, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. There's a word used in 1 Peter 1, 7 that talks about being tested by fire. It's actually the idea of like smelting metal. It's like getting all the impurities out. I'm here to tell you that as a Christian, God, if you will go to heaven, and it is your choice. Did you hear me say that? It's a promise of God, and it's yours, but it is your choice if you go to heaven. But that choice will be tested by fire. Because can you imagine something so valuable and so pure and so holy and so eternal where God is? Where people are just allowed to come in that are lazy? No, it won't work that way. Faith is the essence of, again, a diligent spirit. Yes, sir.
Knowledge of God is putting that knowledge, that Ao knowledge, into gnosko, action to where you have a deeper appreciation of the things that he suffered. And Paul said, I know Jesus how? Through the things which I have suffered. So you cannot know God fully until you have, number one, studied for yourself and then put that study into action. And the Apostle of Love said it perfectly in 1 John 1. He said, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, does not keep his commandments. He's a liar, and the truth is not in him. That's why Jesus said, do you not hear his own voice?
It's always intrigued me that the Apostle of Love, as you mentioned, who writes John, 1 John, 2nd and 3rd John in the book of Revelation, talks a lot about being a liar. Think about that love contrast. That's why your wives don't like you, man, when you say you love them and you don't treat them well. Because the actions don't add up. So I've learned that somewhat the hard way. I'm still 27 years in. I'm still so stubborn I forget to close the door to our shower because it lets the humidity into the part where she is trying to dry her hair out because the humidity makes her hair frizzy. I moved her to West Texas to get her out of the Arkansas humidity, and that wasn't good enough. I know, and I'm telling you, probably 3 times a month we fight over that. It's the small thing. She says, I've been married to you 27 years. Well, yeah, and you still leave that door open. And that's a little, I'm like, really? I'm over here. We got to get there. You're fighting and arguing over. I got to get to Bible class. All right. 1 John 4:1. All these passages talk about try the spirits. A lot of false teachers, a lot of things going on out here. So John 12:48, you want to write that passage down. Final judgment and all is based upon the word of God. Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judges in the same that I've spoken. The word, John 12:48, will judge us. Not Brian, not Evelyn, right? It's going to be that word. We want you to know that so you can be ready for judgment. All right, we're trying to prove all things. Again, what's the metric? What's the standard? Again, it's the Bible. 1 Corinthians 10:13 is an interesting passage in the book of 1 Corinthians, and it refers back to the Old Testament lessons learned. And the word there in that passage that's interesting to me is the idea of being disciplined or reproving. And you want to learn from the Old Testament. You know, we talk about this very fundamentally often, but the person who doesn't correct themselves, that keeps making the same old mistake over and over again, what is that sometimes called? Okay, I can't fix that. That's hard. What I can do is show you lessons and why you don't want to do that and what it's going to look like if you keep doing that. And you know what the Bible does? The Bible tells us, if you keep doing this, this is what happens. Isn't that wonderful? I tell people, that's a wonderful thing, but just get over yourself and quit. Stop doing bad things. The attitude of what does the Bible teach instead of the attitude the Bible doesn't say it's wrong. This is the wrong approach in life. Your children need to see an example in you of you living as what the Bible teaches. Think about that and how that applies in everyday life. If you have that attitude, what does the Bible teach? That helps. Because if the Bible teaches it, then that will do something. It's called the law of exclusion. It excludes things. So we won't be arguing about certain things, but when people come to the Bible and say, well, let me go see what it doesn't say. Oh, guess what? It doesn't say you can pick up a bottle of Jack Daniels and imbibe and have a good... Because Jack Daniels is never mentioned in the Bible. Therefore, it must be okay. Is that true? Is that the way you think? What does the Bible say about the subject matter of alcohol, hard alcohols? What does it say? And then draw implications from that. Are you to be sober-minded? That idea has to do with being free from intoxicants. That's what the Bible teaches. So why would you not want to be free from intoxicants? Yes, sir. Yeah. I think 2 Thessalonians 2:10 and 11 is an interesting passage because it says something there about it's easy to believe a lie. You think politicians know that? It's easier to sell a lie than it is the truth. And guess what people will vote for? They want that lie. That lie, it's like a politician or a God on earth promising you heaven. So we've got to go to the Bible to prove things. So it's third point. In order to be approved of God, the Bible says you have to know it. Again, John 12:43, we will read about men love to be praised by men more than the praises of God. Is that anything uncommon today? People like, do you like feeling rejected? I don't like it. But you know what? At some point in your life as a Christian, and Royce, I think you will like this point. Don't you get to a point in your life, you've been doing this a long time, right? I made the statement this weekend, coming in. I will be a lonely man before I ever knowingly advocate error or oblige it or keep it. I will be a lonely man. I'm not worried about the praises of men. If you're in your 50s and 60s and you still are worried about the praises of men, something wrong with you if you've been to church for a while. Yeah. But that's a problem. I understand with young people. Your kids are going to feel peer pressure, right? Parents should be wise. We should understand and help them through it. But throw them out to the den of wolves and bad and tell them you're going to have to, you know, be an eccentric or something. You know, there are ways we can help our kids. And I don't know that we always get this right. But I'm here to help. God's helping me. These passages here, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling correctly the word of truth. That is a, we have to do that. Does everybody handle the Bible correctly? Let me ask you another question. Does everybody handle your words, your conversations when you talk to them? Do they handle you correctly? No? So why would we think people handle God correctly? So we've got to study to find these things out. Acts 2:22 will speak of a man approved of God. It's talking about Jesus Christ. He was approved. Acts 23:1 says we can't use our conscience alone to be justified by God. We need to hear those words in Matthew 25:21. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Who will make that declaration? God will. Jesus, yeah. So we want to be approved of God. In order to be, let's go back here. Hang on. Yeah, I'm getting my forward and reverse together. I see my clock here. Give me just a few minutes. All right, the reason why we study in order to grow and mature spiritually. I see this all the time out in West Texas. Lots of churches of Christ. But one thing I know is right there is not taking place. There's people stuck in their old way. They hadn't studied. They hadn't been studying. They hadn't grown. 1 Peter 2:2. We must desire the sincere milk of the Word of God that we thereby may grow. Can you see a baby growing without being nursed or without having mother's milk or milk? Is that going to happen? So why would we think spiritually we're going to mature and grow if we don't feast upon God's Word? The word desire there is important. Why don't people desire it? I know people desire food because I see your bellies. Yeah. You know, I think about this. I'm in the mood right now. I'm in the mood to do some barbecuing like we do in Texas, not like they do elsewhere. Yeah. I'm in the mood to do some. It's funny how it's on my mind. I can almost taste it. I can smell it. I can see the salts, the black pepper. I can see it in my mind. It's like flavor, you know. Can you not taste that? Y'all like barbecue? The grease, the fat, the flavor, you know. Don't give me no lean beef. I need some fat. It's coming. And I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to it. But think about that. That's a desire, isn't it? We've got our gospel meeting coming up. I'll find some time. But what I'm trying to tell you is do you think that way about the spiritual words of life, God's Word? Do you desire those words? I need to know more about that text. I need to study more. I need to learn more about what the prophet Ezekiel's talking about. I didn't know why he's in there. Do you have that desire? Because that's what's going to save your soul. That flavor, that food, that's spiritual. And I'm going to stop here. But I want you to think about, again, why we're studying the Bible. And these passages, again, will help us. So I appreciate your kind attention and comments, as always. I'll leave that up just until they change it over.